You know, most of us have items that we consider of great value. Maybe they cost a lot of money, and maybe they're irreplaceable. Maybe it's simply like this watch I have on. That was my dad's watch. I have great high value in it, even though it's really a nice watch and it's valuable. Somebody gave it to him years ago. But to me, that's irreplaceable. I can't replace it. Oh, I can buy another watch, but I can't replace that one. How many understand what I'm saying to you? And, you know, when you protect things that are typically of value to you, whether they're a value of money or value for what they stand for. And, you know, we have vaults and safes and safety deposit boxes and fireproof file cabinets to protect valuable things. And, you know, tonight I want to share with you about establishing right values, how to protect those values. You know, life actually is a series of choices, and we must have something that will guide us in making those choices. Now, William Jennings Bryan said, "Destiny is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. It's not a thing to be waited for, it's a thing to be achieved." So, you know, we need to place high value on the things that influence our choices. You know, full value of, I'm going to say this, maybe I'll get it, full value of tomorrow will never be realized unless we make the right choices today. You know, we cannot make right choices without right values. Now turn to Hebrews 11. While you turn there, let me say we got to hold on to the right values and set our priorities according to the right values. And then we can walk in the plan for God has for us. Hebrews 11, 24. Okay. "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin." I'm reading from the NLT. "He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible." Now, the Message translation says it like this: "By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than the opportunistic sort of life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in Messiah's camp far greater than the Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. By an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, indifferent to the king's blind rage. He had his eye on the one no eye can see, and kept right on going." Now here Moses made some difficult but life-changing decisions. Hello. Now one of the keys to his success was that he identified his values and then prioritized them accordingly. Now, if you look at great achievers, people that have achieved something, success in life, a person who has set priorities in life based upon their values, that's the person that's a great achiever. Now, a person who does not try to do everything, but chooses to do the things that are important. A person who approaches life, you know, have any people that are hunters in here that go hunting? I got a few people. And, you know, when you have a rifle, you've got to take careful aim on what you want to hit out there. And it takes that careful aim for us to have the right values and set the right priorities according to that will enable us to help us to live the kind of life that we need to live. Now, John Mason says this in Let Go of Whatever Makes You Stop. Determine what you really want and what God wants for you. This will keep you from chasing butterflies and put you to work digging for diamonds. You know, a lot of people just chasing, I call it chasing the pot at the end of the, you know, at the end of the rainbow, everybody says that. Well, I was traveling here not very long ago, and I could see the rainbow hitting the ground, and there wasn't no gold at the end of it. There wasn't no pot there. People are chasing things that are not important because they haven't set the right values. You know, having the right values helps us to pursue the things of greatest value. You know, some people just go along with the flow of circumstances of life. They set no values. They just go along. Whatever happens will happen. And they never accomplish very much either. You know, if you look at the people that have impacted the world, you'll find out that they swam upstream against all odds. They just didn't go with the flow, you know. You know, it's impossible to be a great achiever if you just drift with everybody else. And so I want to look at several things that will enable us to set right priorities and have the life that God wants us to have. First of all, if you establish your values, they will guide you through life. You might remember, it's been a while back now, I did a series of sermons on Sunday morning talking about the core values of Rhema. Anybody remember me doing that? See, that's what we set our life by. That's how we live. Decide what is valuable and important and make those things top priorities in your life. Is God the most valuable to you? Is the Word of God great value to you? Is your family of great value to you? Is honesty, character, integrity of great value to you? Or do you just go with whatever happens at the moment with no thought of how your present decision will affect your future? You know, Roy Disney said this: it's not hard to make decisions when you know what your values are. I'm going to say that again. Roy Disney said that. It's not hard to make decisions when you know what your values are. The Bible gives us some valuables. First of all, God says that people are of great value to Him. He desires to take care of us. Look at Matthew 6:26. He says here, verse 26, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food. Again, I'm reading NLT. In barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderful for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into fire tomorrow, He certainly cares for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things. saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Now, here's the secret. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Here God is saying we don't have to worry about him. He cares about us. We are valuable to him. Now, secondly, right living has great value to us. Proverbs 10:2 in the NLT says, tainted wealth has no lasting value, but right living can save your life. You know, crooked dealings and crimes, I mean, they lead straight to the path of ruin. But you know, having right living of your values is more than, well, that's not a crime, but yeah, but is it right? If you cheat somebody out of something. See, once again, from John Mason, if y'all didn't know it, John lives right here in town. He's written some very good books. And this one, An Enemy Called Average. You know, I guess that's why I don't like anything but first place, because anything less than first place is average. And I don't like it. But anyway, he said there's a difference between something that's good and something that is right. As Christians, our higher responsibility is always to do the right thing. You know, that you could preach a whole bunch on this right here. But I better go on down the line, you know. That might get somebody upset. You know, did you take staples from the office for your stapler at home? Did you take paper from home, from work, to put in your copying machine? Come on now. That's not your paper. That's the company's paper for the company reasons. That's not the right thing to do unless you are told to do that because you operate your stuff at home part of the time. Boy, it's getting awful quiet in here right now. But I'm talking about doing the right thing, the right values. We're talking about right living has great value. Amen. Now, we need to recognize the value of godly wisdom. I'm talking about protecting your valuables. Remember, that's what I started out talking about? We need to recognize the value of godly wisdom. Ecclesiastes 10:10 in the NLT. Ecclesiastes 10:10 in the NLT. I let everybody tell me when I see people that have found it, because you need to look at these scriptures. All right. Using a dull axe requires great strength. Anybody ever tried to chop something with a dull axe? It requires a lot of strength, and sometimes you can't even get it done. So sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. You know, successful people use wisdom in making right decisions. You know, working hard is admirable, and we need to work hard, but working wisely is of greater value. You know, you can have somebody working there and they might be struggling, and you go up and say, hey, wait a minute. Do it this way. It's a whole lot easier. That's what it's talking about here. Successful people, you know, working hard is admirable, but working wisely is of great value. You know, godliness has great value. It's profitable in every situation. Of course, go to 1 Timothy 4:8. Y'all all know what it says. I'm going to read it from the NLT. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. He said here, godliness is much better. It has value. What's the value of it? The promise of benefits in this life and the life to come. Everybody's always talking about the life to come, and thank God the life is coming. But there's value in godliness in this life. You know, now, can a price be put on the value of knowing Christ? That's you can't value that. Look at Philippians 3:8 in NLT. Yes, everything else is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. You cannot place a value on your salvation, knowing Christ. Now, let's look at something. There is eternal life through Jesus Christ is of the greatest value. There's nothing compares with it. Now, I'm going to go read Matthew 16 out of the Living Bible, not the New Living Bible, but the Living Bible. There's a difference. What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? What can be compared with the value of eternal life? I see everybody shaking their head. There's nothing that's that valuable. 1,000 gold mines, 1,000 diamond mines, they can be gone. But eternal life is, that's for eternity. Ask yourself, what are the most valuable things in life to me? And then set our priorities. Is it the things of God? Is it your family? Or is it business and money above everything else? Is it loving God and your fellow man? Is it the well-being of your fellow man? We need all of everything that I said here. But we've got to put a value on them and put them in order, prioritize them in order that they need to be done. Come on. See, God, family, loving your fellow man, then you can put business and money. Hello? If you study the Word of God, the way I see it from the Word of God, that's His value system. Anybody else see it that way? Now, how do you determine what is important to you? What are you passionate about? What you're passionate about will give you a clue to what your priorities are. Great people, great achievements demand great desire and passion from the person that's doing it. I mean, you got to want to do it. You got to love it to do it. If you're going to be a good athlete, you got to love it. You got to be passionate about it. Hello. You know, a lot of people talk about weight and losing weight and staying in shape and all that. But if you're not passionate about it, it ain't going to happen. And for you other English people, it's not going to happen. I can talk about losing weight all you want to, but I'm not that passionate about it. Huh? Yeah, I'm more passionate about going to White River Fish Market down here and eating me some shrimp and oysters and all that good stuff, you know. They closed at 8 o'clock though. And I hadn't eaten today. You know, I'm passionate about this church, about this campus, about the schools. I'm passionate about my family, my grandsons. Lynette, I tell you, I make every game that I can of those five. Every race that I can make of Cameron's, every ball game of the other boys, I'm passionate about it. Because they're important. Anything that's of value to you is important. You know, some people attending church and they're not passionate about it. They make it here every once in a while. Oh, nobody said nothing on that one. Do you understand that we got people that come once a month? Once every 3 months. Some people that come Wednesday night only. Some people come Sunday morning. Some people like you, Kai, that I see sitting here, come Sunday morning, Sunday night, anytime we're on Wednesday night. See, you're passionate about it. Then you got somebody that comes maybe two or three or four times a year, but this is their church and we're their pastors. And it's the truth. Ask the staff. They'll tell you it's the truth. They'll call to come to visit them in the hospital, and you have to look them up on the record to see who they are because you don't see them that often. Oh, yeah, I think I remember them. You know, anybody ever heard of a multimillionaire financier by the name of J.P. Morgan? Man, he made all kinds of financial transactions back in the day. Some of them impacted the global economy. But in his will, he left this to his children. I commit my soul in the hands of my Savior, full of confidence that having redeemed me and washed me with his most precious blood, he will present me faultless before the throne of my heavenly Father. I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all hazard, at any cost of personal sacrifice, the blessed doctrine of complete atonement of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, once offered and through that alone. Man, that's a pretty strong statement. See, spiritual things must be important to us. They must be as important. Spiritual things got to be important. But then our personal character, our family, the church, all of these have to be of value. And plan. Remember, I keep talking about value and prioritize. And I can't even say it. I was saying it earlier. Now I can't even say it. Now, the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. Not what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. There you go. Many people are busy at work, but the big question, are they busy at the important things of life? A noted Italian economist came up with the law of inverse production, which simply means 20% of your input will yield 80% of your output. As he said, choose to be busy about the right things and the right purposes, and you'll get the results. That come out of Van Crouch's book, Winning 101. Some of you have read that. This shows us then that doing some things will produce a greater return than other things. See, if we spend more time doing the things that bring greater return, we'll accomplish more in life. We'll do the same thing in our spiritual life. See, I'm talking about two roads tonight. I'm talking about the spiritual side and the natural side. And the same things that I'm talking about on the spiritual side is the same things that will make you successful on the natural side. Your values. Now, let's get to something that some of you might want to balk at. Saying yes and no at the right time helps protect your values. The word no is a great power word. It will break you from being overcommitted. It will break you from messing around with unimportant things. Saying no will get you away from distraction. Saying no will help you to overcome fear. Saying no will keep you from compromising. Oh. Saying no to the wrong things will put you in the right place with the right things. Saying no to bad company will change your life. Saying no to the wrong places will keep you out of trouble. Come on now. Not saying no when you should will lead you to disappointment. Hello? Man, it's getting quiet now. Now listen to this. If you're going to say yes to God's values and priorities, you're going to have to say no to some things. This is something simple. We all should know it. We all were probably taught this, but learning to say yes and no at the right times to the right things will help us to maintain our values and our priorities in life. Now, along with me, I got to raise my hand. How many of you have not said no when you should have had said so sometime or another? Has it led to happiness or disappointment? Somebody said worse. Well, that's probably right. That's probably right. Now, going back and looking at old John Mason's book, An Enemy Called Average, saying no to the lesser things can mean saying yes to the priorities in life. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Identify what is important and of value to you and learn to say yes to that. Identify the things that are trying to come into your life that are not all that important and really don't have a lot of value, and learn to say no to them. Now, it's a lot easier said than done. Hello. You know, we're always telling our teenager and our kid, you know, our grandkids and then our kids when they were, don't say no to this thing. But you know what? You need to learn to realize that, hey, did you always say no? Try to help them by showing. See, don't act like you are the, you never done anything. I got that scar right there and one right here. Because I didn't say no when I should have. I should have said no. We'll wait, even if we don't make it back to college for Monday morning, we'll make it Tuesday. But no, I was down in Houston. Had a couple people in the car with me. And they said, oh, we got to get back. So I said, okay, so I'm driving all night. Just as I came into the edge of Waxahachie, I went to sleep, run off in a culvert, hit a big culvert head on. I wound up, you know, I'm hanging up on the steering wheel. I got the horn rim stuck in here, and this is here with glass, and I had to reach up and slide sideways to get out of the car. But I didn't want to drive. I was tired, but I'm 19, you know. Oh, I can make it. And that old Frank said, oh, you can make it. And we'll keep you away. Well, they did. They all went to sleep. You know. And it wasn't like we didn't leave till 11:30 at night or something, you know. We went to church there where my dad's holding revival. We went to church. In fact, I think he was over at Billy Bob Hankins' church, Brother Mark Hankins' dad's church. I think that's where he was. Anyway, we went out after church, you know, with a bunch of the kids and stuff, and so we start home about midnight. And I knew I shouldn't do it, but I didn't say no. Tore up my car. Got hurt myself. Others got hurt. Just because I didn't say no. See, you need to learn how to use when you didn't say no to help somebody else to learn how to say no. Learning to say yes and no at the right time is vitally important. It will help you with your values in life. Identify what is important, and I'm going to say it again, and say yes to those things. Set your priorities in life and say yes to those values and those priorities, and say no to that you should say no to. Now, I've talked about values and priorities. And I did that for a reason, because I want you to get a hold of the fact that your life depends, your spiritual life, your natural life, depends on the values you set and how you prioritize them. Whatever you think is the most important. And I want to go back and say, God has to be the most important, and the things of God. Hello. And then begin to fall everything else into where it needs to be. But you will never achieve until you learn to say no to the proper things and yes to the right things. No to the wrong things, yes to the right things. And sometimes saying no to something may mean saying something no to something that looks good, smells good, but in the long run, it's not going to be good. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's vitally important that we learn this. You see, I've had to say no to some things sometimes. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't said no to some things. Because back whenever I first started with the ministry, come from speech and responsibilities, being, and all of a sudden I got nothing. I'm a crusade person, reading contracts and setting up and driving and selling books and doing announcements on the platform. That's it. We'll start our own ministry, and when we're not busy with Dad, we'll go out on our own ministry. So I got my logo, Living Faith Ministries. My colors was green and white, and it was a diamond, and it had Living Faith and the Ministries on the bottom. I took my own money, and I got my tapes. It's back in tape days, guys. And I got the masters, and I made my tape album. I got my albums with my messages and so forth and so on. And we're ready to launch. And God just said, are you going to do what I asked you to do, or are you going to do what you want to do? And I had to say no. And I took all of the masters, everything, all the albums I had paid for, my personal money. I took it into the shipping at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, in the shipping room. I said, here it is. Never asked for a dime for it. But I had to say no to that. Now, there wasn't nothing wrong with that. That's why I'm saying, see, there are some things, there's nothing wrong with it, but you got to say no to it because that's not what God wants. Did y'all get anything out of this tonight? I've shared with you, establish your values in life, ask yourself what is the most important, and learn to say yes and no at the right time. See, when you know your values, when you know what is important, it's real easy to say yes and no. Father, I talked to the people tonight for a few moments on something that I think will help them to be successful in natural life and spiritual life. Father, I pray that whatever part that we said tonight was needed by each and whichever individual, may they take it and use it in their life to adjust their life so that they can be that successful person that you want them to be. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Stand up. I trust you got something out of that tonight. It's a little different, you know, but I like to give y'all something and make y'all think about life. You know, so many times we're always wanting our stuff for our spiritual life. But if you realize what makes you successfully spiritually will make you success in the natural. Go look at Abraham. Go look at some of the other people in the Word of God. You'll find out that they were successful on the spiritual side, and that made them successful on the natural side. Amen. Hey, if you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you got to get, that's the first step in saying yes to God is to come for salvation. Or you may need to say, yes, I need to rededicate my life to God. Or you may be here and you may want to receive the Holy Spirit. Or you may need prayer for any reason. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front as we're dismissed. The ladies here, the men on this side. And you won't leave here like you came. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to the room to take them to the place to receive that special gift. And once again, thank you for being here and being with us. We welcome you to come and join our family. And that's why we told you, welcome home. If you're looking for a place, you're welcome right here. Just come on, join us. Hey, don't forget all the other announcements about Rockets Over Rhema. It's coming. We need your help. Don't forget about that card. Byron and NRC, that card helps all over to NRC, helps keep that thing going and keep all everything, help the athletic department. So, hey, get one of those. It works. You can use it many different places. So get a hold of that. And what else was it? Something else I was going to remember. Oh, that's it. Pick up your tickets for the baseball game. How many of you are going to a baseball game with me? Good. We're going to have a good time. I can hardly wait to get out there and get to, I hope that spot we're staying is still there, because we're set. Hey, for y'all that went last year, we're sitting about in the same set. I think it's the very same section we sat in last. Is that right, Greg? We sat in the very same section we sat in last year. So, and it was a lot of fun. So I said, oh, it may be hot. Well, don't worry about that. Hey, the value of being together and enjoying life together is part of your Christian walk. If you ever notice in the early church, it said they got together and they ate. We're going to watch some baseball and eat some hot dogs and some nachos and, oh yeah, all that good stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. But don't forget to go pick up your tickets, okay? And it, all right. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep my values where they're supposed to be. God bless.